Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adam from the podcast that you're about to listen to. I'm just jumping in before the podcast to tell you about another podcast. If you can't get enough of podcasts, boy, do we have another podcast. Myself and Ben have been doing another one that is called Gabagool, a Sopranos podcast. We're going through and watching every episode of The Sopranos, one a week, every week. And you can either listen to it like a little book club and rewatch The Sopranos with us. We won't spoil any episodes that we're not up to, so you can watch it for the first time with us. You can rewatch it with us. You can even just listen to the podcast and experience the show through our eyes, like a little, like an audiobook version of a TV show. It's fantastic, and it's technically not piracy, so you can get The Sopranos for free in a way. It's been really fun to do, and I think it's enjoyable to analyze and review a show as deep and fantastic as The Sopranos. So if that sounds interesting to you, Gabagool, a Sopranos podcast, is available now on every podcast platform you could care to imagine. Go have a look for it, rate and review, subscribe, enjoy, tell your friends, and then listen to this podcast as well, Filthy Casuals. I love those guys. What an interesting take on video games they have every single week.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. I'm pumped, boys. There's so much shit to talk about this week.
Me too. I'm also pumped, and I'm here to welcome you to the Adam Knox press conference. Thank you so much for joining us, both on YouTube, Twitch, and Google Plus.
All it's our fantastic. Co-streamers, thank you everyone for... did you see that E3
it's
wouldn't
just
let
the
Jeff
Adam
Keighley...
Knox press, press conference, please, actually. So let me just announce what I'm here to announce.
Okay, yep.
I did it. I killed OJ.
You killed OJ?
Yeah, yeah.
OJ's dead?
Wow. Yeah. It's a big twist. Anyway, so what were you going to say? What did you see what?
So E3, like usually with these huge events, anyone can just like pop it on their own Twitch channel and like co-stream it, like host it. They wouldn't let, E3 wouldn't let Jeff Keighley put it on his. And, like, he posted their little email and stuff saying, like, hey, it was weird. E3 wouldn't let me co-stream this.
I think so. E3 in general was being like, hey, just if you do it, know that maybe you could get a DMCA strike or whatever. Because there'll be music in the conferences and whatever that could get hit. But then Nintendo specifically did say, please don't anyone watch this on a stream. You can react to it. They gave people permission to show their own faces reacting to something they were looking at, which is very big of them. But you weren't allowed to have the conference on the thing as well. So
please don't co-stream this because the audio is going to be 2 seconds out of sync and we don't want you talking over this bizarre aesthetic choice that we've made for our presentation.
It is insane to have an ad... to be putting up an ad and say nobody run our ad.
That was the weird thing with the E3 one. It's like, why would you not? You know, it's like some sports, like the NBA is like literally anyone can get a clip from a game and put it on their Instagram because it's promotion. It's free promotion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why this thing exists, is for people to talk about and discuss and add their own content to it and.
It is
get the word out there again, especially in a year where we didn't have it last year. And it felt like as we got closer and closer to it, it felt like the excitement was, you know, pretty up. Like we've been talking about it for weeks on this. It was like, oh yeah, we didn't get to have this like week of talking about all these new announcements last year. Yeah. It's exciting.
You could even say that we got so excited for it that our expectations were set a little bit too high.
I just want to say for this episode of the podcast, not only is no one allowed to co-stream this or post it anywhere on socials, please put the volume on zero while the podcast plays. No one can even hear it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
why.
Please, I don't. Yeah. One headphone in one ear. I don't want your ears to co-hear this. There's no way that...
It's
so crazy. Why wouldn't Martin Scorsese let me rip a DVD of Taxi Driver and put it on the internet for free? It is free advertising for Taxi Driver.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
Shout out to everyone on an oil rig listening to this, though. You are the real ones.
All right. So, yeah, we don't need to dick around for too long because we have so much to talk about. But overall thoughts, I thought that this was a really good E3. There was a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to playing coming up. I don't think any one presentation really was a standout from start to finish, but I thought there was like a great smattering across the whole 3 or 4 days of stuff. Like, it felt like every time I logged onto Kotaku, there were a whole bunch of new trailers that I went, yeah, I'm really excited to play that. Mix of bigger stuff, more indie stuff at the moment for me personally. But yeah, it felt like we got a pretty decent dose of especially some first looks at some big things that people have been itching to see for a long time now. And you know, they're all still a long way away. But yeah, should we dive into it with the first thing that happened, which was the Summer Games Fest?
Yeah. So I watched this live because I was excited for this E3. And I guess just to say as well at the time that, like, my overall E3 thing, I think, was not as, like, into it as yours, because I think a lot of the games that we got to see more of stuff that looks cool, but there weren't, like, those big surprising things. Because Elden Ring, it was really cool to see it for real, but we've known about it for years, and it was more just like, you know what I mean? Like, there it is.
It exists.
We knew about it.
I think, personally, I had no expectations for E3. I've never really been that into it, and I enjoyed this week of stuff that we got to see. There were some really cool things that I'd never seen before. The stuff that we had already seen, I got a bit more into. I think Xbox and Bethesda is being touted as the quote-unquote winner of the conferences. But I didn't watch any of them live except for the Nintendo one. So this is just a series of trailers for me. Some of them I liked, some of them I didn't, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the fact that, you know, everything these days gets leaked before it's out as well. Doesn't, like that Mario & Rabbids thing would have been cool to be like, whoa, you know, not that you have to be wild about everything.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we get to it, because that is pretty funny in and of itself. But yeah, I don't really know where my expectations were on the whole. It was really hard to know going in because, as we've been discussing, COVID's affected things, and it was hard to know whether that meant that no one would have anything or whether, because of there not being one of these last year, that there was still a bit of a holdover. And it kind of felt like it landed sort of somewhere in the middle.
For sure.
Some big delays, but also there was a bit of a backlog of stuff that perhaps would have been shown earlier this year or at the end of last year, and that when these developers got wind that E3 would be happening, it was pretty easy to hold on to them and go, okay, well, that's when we'll shuffle
for
it
sure
out.
I reckon Elden Ring is absolutely one of those as well, because they gave a release date. It's January something next year, which is sort of around, I guess, what everyone was expecting. Maybe this year was on the cards too, but it looks a hell of a fucking lot like a game that From Software makes.
Right.
And I'm super into that. It's a combination of all the stuff they've made from the look of it. No real, like, gameplay, but it was all, like, in-engine sort of stuff happening, but, you know, not, like, actually someone playing it. And it looks like you're basically doing a Dark Souls thing that's at the speed of Bloodborne with the, like, jumping around and maneuverability of Sekiro, which is great.
Yeah. Yep. Horses too, right? Everyone's going on about the horses. You can ride some horses around. And it's
horses that can double jump, right?
Hell yeah.
Normal horses can. If you're a good enough show jumper, that's what show jumping is.
And it's semi-open world, right? That's the other thing about it.
Big hub, and then like sort of six sounds very, you know, kind of Ocarina of Time sort of setup, where it's a big central area that then has splintering off kind of dungeon bits. 4-player co-op in that middle bit too. But then you can't ride your horse when you're doing multiplayer for some reason. They came out and said that, I guess, because people were so excited about the horses. They were like, yeah, the horses are great, but just so you know.
No posses.
It looks like exactly what you would hope for this game to be. Nothing too surprising, you know, and it's got a lot of, like, the trailer that we've seen has a lot of that very From Software game kind of voiceover of, like, here's the mystical word that you need to, in the age of these guys, blah, this happened. So I you can't tell what George R. R. Martin has done in that, because it's the same as Dark Souls, pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the negative stuff I've seen about this has been, well, actually, I haven't seen this. This is my opinion. It doesn't look very new. It doesn't look very current gen. It looks a little, some of the textures didn't even look that high res. That's just my impression. Like, I'm not, I know that the aesthetic is more important, but I don't know. That's something I noticed. And some people being like, what does George R. R. Martin even bring to this? It's like, you've just seen a cinematic trailer. Like, how can you judge that from this? Wait until the game comes out.
I think that the fact that it seems as though it has a similar style of story from this trailer, where it will kind of be a backgroundy thing that you kind of don't interact with directly too much throughout the game,
right,
is the impression that this trailer gives, because of how similar it is to their previous games, maybe contributes to that. And, like, yeah, I agree that it looks, I mean, because it's coming out on, like, those older consoles, on the original Xbox One and PS4, it does look not quite as spectacular as their games can sometimes look, but the aesthetic is definitely still there, and I'm stoked about it. I think that similarity to what, to follow up on what we were saying last week about the easy mode stuff, I wouldn't hold your breath for that to be in this. Yeah.
I thought this looked really cool. Like, I'm not a big From Software head. I thought, yeah, the style and everything was really appealing. And yeah, I just kept thinking about what you were saying last week, Ben. That unfortunately, I probably will get it, but I can't see myself getting very far in it at all. I see myself bouncing off it pretty quick. But I thought the trailer was great, and as kind of like a first thing that we saw, this really got me hyped up. I thought,
how far did you get
in Demon's
Souls?
I think the design
Souls
and everything is cool. I did the first bit, and then, like, the first whatever they're called in game, the first level or the first world or whatever. I did that. I did that first boss, and then I just never really even attempted the second bit. I felt like I'd made good progress in it, and then I dipped out for a little bit to focus on Spider-Man instead, and then some other stuff came out, and I just didn't go back to it. But I hadn't really hit a wall where I couldn't where I literally couldn't, you know, beat any of it yet.
Right.
I just got a very immense amount of satisfaction from having finally done that first world, and in my head went, that'll do me. I'm going to pretend that this is just a 4-hour game that looks beautiful.
That's exactly the same thing that happened to Peter Parker with University. He dropped it to focus on Spider-Man. That was my experience with the original Demon's Souls the first time as well, is that I would get to, like, the sort of second, I guess, boss with a big knight guy and find it a bit confusing and difficult, and then go, I'll come back to this later. And then it took me years to understand and appreciate these games, kind of, you know, or to get to the point where I push through whatever wall that is that they put up in front of you. And that initial wall is really, really high. It's a lot higher than after you kind of, whatever clicks about these games clicks in. They do get easier. I don't know why, but
I think it was kind of like doing that first world, and, like, you know, the frustration of just, you get put on your ass so many times, and having finally conquered that, and that felt so good. I just kind of wasn't quite ready to reset and have to go through all of that again and have that experience of, like, pushing through I wasn't quite ready to go back into the world of, like, the very, very frustrating early bits of getting through the next section.
That's fair enough. Well,
but, yeah.
If you are after a maybe what appears to be a slightly more straightforward game, but of a similar-ish style, this game Sable that they showed a bit during that Game Fest whatever thing, and in a couple of the other conferences, I think.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. It looks kind of like Zelda crossed with Journey, right?
Yeah. And this this got shown ages ago, I feel like we first got a glimpse of this somewhere. I can't remember where, and I remember it really sticking out to me back then. But it's dated now, right? It's coming out this year?
This year, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
September or something.
That
it's
sounds right.
It's got a soundtrack done by Japanese Breakfast, who I am a big fan of. She came out and performed her song from it as part of the stream. And yeah, she's played a pretty significant role in the making of it. You know, she's kind of front and center promoting this, which is pretty cool. Because yeah, if you haven't checked out her stuff, look her up because she's great. And
eggs,
yeah, I think
eggs, little bit of soup, maybe some rice and some of that orange stuff.
Well, if you're me and Ben, when we went there in 2016, the song would be more like basically non-existent.
Yeah.
Where the fuck can you buy cereal? We just want to have a quick little snack in the Airbnb.
Beers, sandwiches from 7-Eleven.
There's
a demo of this out now. You can get it.
Oh, really?
Right.
If you have an Xbox, and it looks like PC as well, because. Yep, I hit download and it is downloading. So there's a demo for Sable on Windows and Xbox.
I reckon
so
you might need to pause that download, Ben, because the second you said it's downloading, your picture froze. We might need to get back to that download.
All right, I'll pause it.
Your window in the Discord all of a sudden looks very similar to the aesthetic style of Sable since you've started downloading it, ironically enough.
It's paused.
But yeah, it's this beautiful palette, very nice pastel colours, sort of cel-shaded-y sort of look.
But like it's drawn with like fine liners. It's a specific version of like this kind of illustrated look that I haven't seen a game do like this before.
No.
Really, really cool.
It's extremely reminiscent of the graphic artist Mobius, who was like a French guy, made a bunch of science fiction comics and graphic novels in I think the 70s. This is like, early sci-fi graphic novel stuff.
He was the guy who gave Neo the blue pill. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the red pill.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get that detail wrong. I don't want to be a little bit wrong about something from The Matrix. The red pill, I apologize.
Yeah.
There's a funnily enough, there's a game that's been announced earlier that was shown. I can't remember what presentation it was shown in over E3, but it's coming out soon. It's called Ollie Ollie World.
Mm.
And it's the art style is kind of similar to this. Pastels, the cel-shaded sort of look. It's like a 2D skateboarding platformer that reminds me a bit of the Milo CD-ROM video game that you could send away and get back in the early 2000s.
That classic cultural touchstone. Yeah, there's been a couple of those Ollie Ollie games so far. I think they started off as like phone games, I want to say, even. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there were a couple of those.
This looks cool, and it looks, it's kind of weird that it's coming out when it is, because, aesthetically it looks quite similar to Sable in terms of that that art direction of the, the 3D model that's got the line around it still.
Mm.
But yeah, sort of exploration adventure game. Looks pretty cool. You want to talk about exploration? You want to talk about adventure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about if there was some version of Death Stranding coming out called a director's cut, which is meaningless?
Yeah. Director's cut used to refer to like, hey, the studio kind of meddled and this is the version that I wanted to put out there. It's like, dude, the studio has your surname.
Yeah.
Like, who told you? Who on earth told you that you couldn't just put this stuff in originally?
Yeah. Maybe it's Sony. Maybe Sony. It could be.
Maybe Sony. But like the trailer was a bit of fun, like kind of a Metal Gear thing going on. And then it didn't really say anything about what the director's cut edition meant. It will be like upgraded visually and stuff for the PS5 and patched and whatever for that. But other than that, it's unclear what that actually, what like content wise that means, if anything.
Mm.
But I'm interested to see because that game's great.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find if there is any information about what the changes are.
I think they said there'll be more to come. Like they'll do their own thing at some point. And he's Kojima was interviewed on this Summer Games Fest as well, and he brought up 9/11 twice on this like stream about him like announcing this game, and like Jeff Keighley, after first time he brought it up, clearly tried to direct him away from it. And then Kojima was like, yeah, yeah. Anyway, like I was saying, after 9/11, making games was pretty different. Like, it was just so weird.
Wow.
That guy's a lunatic, and it's pretty cool. So yeah, they're working on their next thing currently, it seems like, or very early stages. He was like, I'm getting inspiration from here and here and whatever.
That's great that that's the next iteration of that's great that that's the next iteration of his like intense hard on for America and everything about it is to just be constantly evoking 9/11.
Yeah, it was just it was so strange to me because he had to take shit out of Metal Gear Solid 2 after that happened.
That's right.
So I think he was specifically referring to like how prescient Death Stranding was of like COVID stuff.
Right.
And, the world that he was like, oh, it's pretty weird. So he was saying his next game, he didn't want to be as a futurist and wanted to be a bit more fun and entertaining, which I'm like stoked to hear. Him having a go at being fun and entertaining will be horrific.
No, yeah, I think he for a while has wanted to be like, you know, he's good mates with Nicholas Winding Refn, the director of Drive, who like they all seem to have lent into like, I want to be a real artist and be real gritty and show violence, or with Kojima like lean into the intellectualism, and it's like no, just like shackles off, make something fun, make something silly and pulpy like the Metal Gear Solid series was.
I want to see Kojima make a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. He is a big talent, or should I say a big natural talent.
You should. You absolutely should.
I wonder if... I'm trying to think if there's one of these games on this list will fit if I say speaking of big naturals, but not really.
Doki Doki Literature Club's getting some It's on Switch or something.
It is, there's no way I'm playing that game again.
No, never in my life.
No. I don't think you can, right? Like you only get the benefit of its creativity once.
Interesting that, they're bringing out like a console version of Doki Doki Literature Club, which I think we did like a whole spoiler section of one of the podcasts about. So you can go look for that, maybe. Mm. But there's stuff about that game that it makes it surprising that it's coming out in this form.
Yes, it would be hard to achieve the same effect.
But cool. I guess you know that there's that game is really doing its thing pretty hard. So good for you, Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yes. Speaking of pretty hard, what's next on the list?
Well, we got Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope kind of spoiled. Before, not spoiled, you can't spoil a fucking ad. I don't know why I'm buying into this, but
I know it leaked.
Yeah, it's exciting to be surprised. And so sitting down and, you know, watching a horror movie, if someone before the horror movie's gone, you know, Scream actually dies at the end. the character of Scream, he dies.
Yeah.
Like, I love saying the character of Scream. Calling Scream his name is real fun. But so, they showed it at like the Ubisoft press conference, which happened early on, and it looks cool.
Several hours before that, the internet went into a tizzy because when you say it was spoiled, this wasn't like a Reddit thread. No. This wasn't a 4chan post. This was someone at Nintendo hitting submit on a listing on their website for it.
Yeah.
Set like 6 hours or something before the Ubisoft presentation was meant to happen. This listing just out of the blue just appears on Nintendo's website and people are going, is this how they're announcing it? Like,
so weird.
How the fuck does this happen?
100% just picking the wrong time zone in a drop-down box.
Absolutely.
When they were scheduling it. Yeah. Like it's so easy to do.
Rolled over to that date and it just went up. I totally agree. It's like...
Right. Whoever uploaded it at 12:01 a.m. by mistake. So it was, exactly. Yep. But it looks, cool. More of the same sort of thing.
Yeah, great that there's a sequel. The first one was great. I saw a little bit of stuff online. Obviously, because this had happened before the Nintendo Direct, there were a lot of people saying, like, this looks, bits of this look a little crisper than what the Switch can do. I wonder if this hints at
what
we're about to see. Because, yeah, I'd forgotten about this. Remember, was it a few years ago or quite a few years ago now when – what games was it? It was the first Watch Dogs and something else were shown off running on the new hardware before the new hardware had been announced. And Sony and Microsoft got quite shitty about that. So if you want to put your tinfoil hat on, I think you could argue that Ubisoft have done this to Nintendo with the Switch Pro, and so their response has been, well, fuck you, we're going to put up our internal listing for it before you do your announcement to take the wind out of your sails.
Maybe. However, to counter that theory,
unlikely, but you know.
I put it to the court,
to the ladies,
the word Switch Pro... that we're not allowed to say Switch Pro again because I think we've invented it. I think we're talking about Bigfoot and it seems like it's not going to happen. Some cunt just pretended that Nintendo bought a bunch of OLED screens and everyone's like, oh, it's happening. I don't know what. Definitely one of the parts of E3 that was like...
This would be so fascinating in a couple of years' time to read a full breakdown of how something like this gathers momentum to the point that it did where it was being reported on by so many reputable news sources as it got closer and closer as just a statement of fact, like this is happening in a week.
This is
I would love to hear all the internal stuff of how that gathers the kind of momentum that it did because it's crazy.
It's like Richard Gere putting a hamster up his ass level of like... Now that we're after the fact, it's like, oh, yeah, of course that didn't happen.
But you're right. I'm reading, there's a Bloomberg article from the 27th of May. Yeah. Nintendo plans upgraded Switch replacement as soon as September. Well, what are we supposed to, Bloomberg is it's a pretty credible source. Where is it?
It's crazy. It was so weird that it didn't happen. I really thought it was a foregone conclusion 2 weeks ago.
It's really bizarre.
But it didn't happen. Something that did happen that seemed like it was that everyone kind of knew was coming but didn't know. So the Xbox conference was kind of the next big one after that.
Just quickly before you get to that, can we just hold on Ubisoft for 1 second? Because I something about this I've really found so funny. Ubisoft having their big reveal of Avatar the video game.
Oh yeah,
good point.
The world of Avatar in the context of film. Whenever it came out 15 years ago or something,
2009
was kind of
cool and 12.
Unique and interesting, but in the context of video games in 2021, it's just incredibly samey and when the big thing in the trailer is you can ride dragons in this game, it's like you look at all the environments and the characters and it's like this just looks like every fucking video game.
Do you know what it looks like? The 2009 Xbox 360 game, Avatar.
Right.
It's so insane. Because you go, that's so weird that they make an Avatar game. Then you go, oh, right, they're making 4 more Avatar movies. Mm. Avatar's coming back one day. Unless these are the Switch Pro movies and we just think it's happening and it won't.
It seems a little bit I think the new one is meant to be out relatively soon and it feels like because they haven't really shown anything of that yet that there'll be elements of that new film in this game and they can't show those elements yet so they've had to just focus on stuff that already exists in the first game, in the first film, which, you're just showing a game version of a film from 2009.
Be careful when we're cutting this trailer together, everybody. Make sure you don't show from the second film that super unobtainium is in this game.
Oh,
it's incredibly difficult to get.
The second film's going to be underwater. That's all I know about it. And I think it was delayed. Yeah. I think it was meant to come out the end of this year and it was delayed to the end of next year or something.
Right.
So,
it was delayed in spite of him saying, it's actually been awesome because COVID hasn't affected my filming because I've just been doing it. I think he's actually said this, right? In a big pool in a warehouse. He's like...
With green screens around it.
It hasn't affected us.
Yeah. It's can't get COVID underwater. You ever seen a fish cough? No? It's fine.
Sorry to cut you off, Microsoft, but I was just busting to get a little mention of Avatar in there because I very much enjoyed watching that trailer.
It's like being at a dinner party with James Cameron. just button in to tell me about Avatar.
You forgot about Avatar.
Hey, everyone. There's been some sort of mistake here. We haven't mentioned Avatar for a while. I don't know if...
Should we say...
Is everyone okay?
Should we say grace? What, before we talk about Avatar? Are you crazy?
So, thanks for inviting me around. I bet you're wondering why I made them blue. It's an interesting story, actually. You've heard it before? Oh, well, then you'll know exactly where the good bits are. So when I was sitting down to draw... Yeah, the Xbox One. The Xbox press conference was on Saturday night or like Sunday morning at like 3 a.m. our time. Mm-hmm. And I chose to remain awake for that for some reason. I watched the whole thing. Fell asleep during Forza Horizon 5 at the end because watching cars drive around while you're already sleepy, like a little baby in the back of one, I nodded right off.
Yeah. But, was there someone around to then carry you into your bed after that trailer?
Yeah. the huge robot that I've secretly built to do that from the couch to bed every day to make me feel like awesome. A child. Oh, man, that would actually probably sell, hey?
That really would sell.
Yeah, if only I had the technique. I said that like I had an idea I could achieve, but there's
finally,
no way.
I've got a use for these robotics parts that I've got in my... Yeah.
I've got a money-making idea. Let's build a mech.
Why are they worrying about the self-driving car? It's so potentially dangerous and unsafe. Get the tech going in the bedroom carrying robot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can test out the kind of the genesis of the idea. It's only going a short distance. The stakes are very low. If it fucks up, it's just going to drop you near your bed or 3/4 of the way onto the bed.
And you don't need a self-driving car then, because even if you drive for a long time and get home tired, guess who's there to take you to bed?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Mr. Lifty. So I believe the Xbox conference opened with Starfield. It was at least very early.
Right.
And it was just like a little, it's seemingly pre-rendered trailer of like a person getting into a pretty normal looking, I mean, futuristic looking, but very Earth looking spaceship.
Right. Right, right, right.
And that was basically all you got there.
Yes.
It was them going, yeah. Nah, it's coming. And
Did they date it?
They said 2022.
Yeah.
I think they said next year. Yeah.
I think so. Which is pretty big. You know, Starfield has been hypothetical for the past few years, pretty much. Same as Elder Scrolls 6. I think Todd Howard specified, because you can't climb up ladders in any Bethesda games.
Like, the other characters can't do it. Like, the NPCs can't do it. There's a lot of shit wrong with that old, what's it called, Create Engine or something like that.
Right,
but they're making this, they've got the second version of that engine that this is now running on. It's a kind of new or at least upgraded engine.
Yeah.
All the Fallout games and all of those that they've put out for the last 20 years. So, time for an upgrade. But yeah, they said a bit of stuff about it. Like, yeah, this is Fallout in space.
Totally, or Skyrim in space. I think the scope of it is they've been open and willing to commit to saying, yeah, it's going to be as big and as expansive and feature as much emergent gameplay as something like Skyrim, which is pretty big.
Name-checking all of them, yeah. Mm. It looks, I like kind of the aesthetic. It's like a very just realistic NASA-looking space. It's almost like how Alien Isolation's aesthetic was for if you took 70s into the future. It's that, but if you took now into the future. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? Because it's not like, here's what we imagine all these touchscreens will be like in the future. It's a lot more kind of grounded looking in this brief kind of cinematic trailer or whatever it is. So, cool to see. Not a lot there. And interesting as well to see that, like, at the end of a Bethesda thing being like, this will come to Xbox.
I was going to say there's no more Bethesda showcase.
No.
It's all Xbox and Bethesda now. And Xbox was a lot of Bethesda, if that makes sense. Like the balance of what was interesting in the Microsoft showcase was, a lot of Bethesda-y stuff. But yeah, Starfield, cool. I'm bang up for it.
Same, yeah. I'm like space. I don't think I'd like the real space if I ever met it, but space in video games, pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to a bunch of different planets and have people go,
Traveler.
Yeah. Yes.
Space traveler. Have you heard about the space elves? It'll probably be that. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't a huge amount more information, but it was them saying, yeah, it's what you think it is, and yeah, it's coming next year, and it's on the Xbox. That was basically the bullet list, the bullet points there.
I think it is interesting, actually. Yeah, aesthetically, it's not... It is more like Skyrim in that it's like, well, we're taking a genre and we're not reinventing it. It's not like Fallout where we're applying a very specific retro futurism aesthetic to it. It's just like, I think, meant to be a very immersive, open RPG.
Right, like they are doing like a vanilla space game.
Yeah,
It almost seems like.
Yep.
Which, yeah, cool. Vanilla's nice. People give shit to vanilla, but... Strawberry's getting eaten last in one of the Neapolitan things, so...
Yeah.
Second best.
Hugely underrated flavor. Ripper flavor.
Yeah. Halo and Forza Horizon 5, they showed more of. I think those are pretty self-explanatory, honestly. Halo looks better than it did last year.
Yes.
And they went into what the multiplayer is, which you can find out more about our thoughts about that in a video we just recorded. Big Ben's trailer, which is on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We go through a few different... trailers of games there and talk about some of them. So I don't think there's too much to say about either of those, but they are obviously big for Microsoft.
Yeah, I watched the sort Forza of extended. Looks great. Yeah, I watched the Forza extended gameplay thingy, and fuck, it looks photoreal. It's kind of wild that
these kinds of racing games are always the thing that that really showcases a new console to its best, I think, and. Yeah, I loved playing the last one on Game Pass when I bought the Xbox that I currently have. And yeah, if something's going to convince me to upgrade, it's probably going to be that, to be honest.
I think it is still on the Xbox One.
No, I know, but like just having it because, you know.
Right. And I mean, even 4 looks fucking awesome on the Series X as well. Like having it run really smoothly. And those games are so much fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I don't mean to... be dismissive of it, but it's a pretty known quantity is all, you know.
Yeah.
You're getting what you're getting with those games, which is great. And
in Mexico this time, which looks like a cool setting for it,
And Halo Infinite, sort of same deal. Yeah, more stuff on the multiplayer there, but I think we kind of know the direction that's going in, and it does look like the year's delay was a good idea.
Yeah.
They said holiday 2021. They didn't give a specific date, which is weirdly like... Even now, you can't tell us like December 3rd or what. Like, that's kind of strange, and maybe it'll slip more. But if it does, cool, because it looks like they're going in the right direction with it.
Yeah,
it still is so crazy that it got delayed so close after them announcing that first date, and it got delayed by such a long time.
Yeah.
Where again, another one that I would love to know behind the scenes: what state was it in? Like, who thought that they could announce a date and have it be that soon and be that wrong about it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Stalker 2, that it looks kind of cool. I think that's a long way off still, but like sort of surviving in amped up, not cartoony, but like imagine if magic existed in Chernobyl because of radiation.
Yeah.
That's what those first Stalker games are, and it looks all right.
Yeah. Good movie as well. It's like, I think
good thing to do with your spare time, just to be one.
Yeah, it's,
you know how easy it is to look through a window?
Yeah. Okay.
They're made of glass. You look right through them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You should tint those things.
I love this trailer. I thought it was really well made, really cinematic, very thoughtful, like good cutting. Good, just well put together. I don't know if I played the first one, but I've read the book and seen the movie, and it looks more interesting because it reminded me of Metro. I'm not really into Metro. I think I maybe always thought Metro was Stalker and was disappointed that it wasn't.
Right. Metro's a lot more of just a sort of first-person shooter where Stalker is like kind of half RPG type of thing.
Yeah.
It definitely looks cool. And also, yeah, a little teaser for The Outer Worlds 2 that we talk about a bit in that YouTube video. But in general, cool. I'm up for more Outer Worlds. I like those DLCs that they put out for the game. I like the game itself. I am up for seeing them do hopefully like a more put together, like slightly bigger budget. Like it did fall apart a little towards the end. It ran out of steam. And I would love to see them be able to do a more complete version of what that game is.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then a couple of smaller ones in this Xbox One. There's a game called fucking Party Animals. You ever heard of Gang Beasts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Party Animals stole Gang Beasts.
Yeah, right.
It's fucking crazy.
Really, really egregiously too. Like I watched this just before and I thought, oh, I literally thought it was Gang Beasts.
Same.
And I was like, I could have sworn this was called something different, but oh well, I guess they just I must have missed something along the way there. But yeah, they
wow.
Yeah, it's the very animals with very kind of heavy sort of physics, right? You're kind of jumping around and knocking each other over. Mm. Four Guys has kind of borrowed a bit of that physics engine a bit, by the looks of things. But yeah, very
just crazy. I'd be fucking calling lawyers all over the place if I was the people who made Gang Beasts, because like it is exactly the same thing. This is like when a fish and chip shop does a burger that's called like the Big Mac,
right?
And then it's they're making a Big Mac and they're rubbing it in McDonald's face, and McDonald's should sue the little guy is what I'm saying.
It's literally like you took the word gang and put that into a thesaurus, and the word beasts and put that into a thesaurus.
Exactly.
Party Animals. That uncreative. Yeah. Like that it extends to the title.
Can't believe that they've done it.
It seems like that should be the other way around, right? It seems Party Animals should be the original, because that's a much more natural name for it.
Totally.
And Gang Beasts should be the like third tier down ripoff kind of name.
Right.
That's
another one called 12 Minutes that we've seen before, which is that game where it's sort of like a couple having an argument or a conversation or something, and it's like a looping 12 minute span of time that you go through again and again and again to eventually kind of puzzle solve your way out of whatever the situation is.
It's a murder mystery, right? This looks really cool.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. And I think this is new, that the voices of the characters now are James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
And they sounded good in this trailer. Daisy Ridley has a good American accent. I've not heard her do that before, but it sounded great. And those are all really, I mean, I really like James McAvoy and Willem Dafoe. I've not seen Daisy Ridley in anything other than Star Wars, but it's one guy making this game. So it's, I don't know if Xbox has like gotten behind, Microsoft's given him a bit of cash to get those people on board, but it looked really slick and I'm interested in this game very much.
Me too. And Annapurna, like they're publishing it. So I guess there's probably a bit of money there as well. Yeah, Luis Antonio is the guy who's making this, an interactive thriller it's billed as. I don't think I had seen this before, and it looks fucking awesome. I think it's a great concept.
I don't remember seeing it before this weekend, but I immediately was like, that looks great. And also, didn't Annapurna announced early on in E3 that they're going to have their own presentation early July?
Right.
Showing off a bunch of stuff that they're publishing, and they've got that real kind of, they've got a bit of the Midas touch, I think, when it comes to picking stuff to put out. So that's exciting to see more what they've got coming out.
This guy, Lewis, as well, he was like an art guy or something like that on The Witness. I can't remember exactly what his title was. So he's got sort of...
Art guy sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was called Art Guy.
Yeah.
And then he changed his name to Luis Antonio.
Okay, yeah.
I'm super interested in that game. I don't remember where it was that it was shown before, but I remember seeing that top-down view of the apartment and the idea of it looping back again and again, which is really cool.
I think Sony and EA are also doing separate presentations in July or soonish. So there's like a second E3 almost with a great indie publisher, and then EA and Sony doing stuff in like a month's time.
Because Sony, for sure, them being gone from E3 is still a big, big hole in the experience of this. And I think that is part of why things feel a little bit flatter than they might have in the past with E3, besides COVID and everything.
Mm.
Sony and not being also, there is huge.
Yeah, I also think we're well overdue to get a Nintendo Direct, so hopefully they announce something soon.
Yeah, we'll see. let's. Somerville is another game that was in that Xbox presentation that I think we're all interested in, and we talk about a bit that trailer as well.
Yes. If that's all for Xbox Bethesda.
That I found interesting. I don't know if you guys saw anything out of that one that piqued your whetted your appetite.
Maybe
my appetite is right? So dry. I'm not hungry at all.
Oh baby, my appetite's so wet.
Yeah.
Put two fingers lots of Game in my Pass, throat. Right?
Yeah, heaps
lots
of
Game
stuff.
Pass
heaps of stuff for Game
announcements
Pass.
In this. Like they just seem to be really rolling those out. Yakuza Like a Dragon is up there right now.
Yeah.
Ben and I have finished it recently, as we talked about. It's fantastic if you've got access to it now. Definitely put it up the top of your list, because I think not to speak for you, Ben, but I think we couldn't recommend it more.
Absolutely.
We loved it so much.
One of my all-time favorite games now. I think this was in the Xbox Showcase, Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Yeah.
Is something that I'm definitely keen for. I think I talked, when it was initially revealed, about the fact that it's a shame on principle that it's just a remaster. I wish that there was maybe something new coming, and the fact that it sort of gets rid of the aesthetic of the original, which was so cool and is holds such a nostalgic place for me, but I still will play Diablo 2 again.
And it's cool. It definitely, seeing this made me just want to play that original again, to be honest.
Right.
And you're not losing out on anything if you don't care about it being widescreen and high resolution, because it is the same game. So
totally.
That is kind of a good aspect, I guess, of remasters, is that you're not, missing out on anything if you play the original.
Right. Yeah.
You can keep it nice and neat. You can keep your whole experience nice and neat and trim. That's what I like.
So let's go to the next presentation. Yeah, no. Okay. this episode, this big bumper, overgrown episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey, fellas, we're in the thick of winter here in the Southern Hemisphere, and a storm's a-brewing. It looks like 1 to 3 inches are in the forecast. 1 to 3 inches. Yeah, that's about right.
Wow, did they write this copy for you, Tommy and Ben? Where's the copy for me that says 100 inches?
100 inches.
Yeah.
1 to 3 inches are in the forecast when you trim that hibernation bush. Okay, hibernation bush.
That's why bears are so fuzzy when they come out of hibernation. They're all pube.
They're all pubes.
They're covered.
Yeah.
Right, there's only one little patch of their body that hair grows on, and it's like this body-wide comb over that they're doing.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
That's why they're called bear, because if you wax them, they're bear.
Oh.
Or if you don't want to wax, do you have other options, Ben?
Absolutely. Call me Grizzly Man, because I am just covered in a thin film of fur that I shaved down to exactly the length that I wanted with the products offered by Manscaped. Our mates at Manscaped specialize in products to make sure you're walking around town with beautiful snowballs.
Oh, boy. Someone's really had a field day here. Just Googled the word winter and then had a scroll.
Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We are part of that 2 million. We trust Manscaped. They make really good products. And we
it's
have
the only
offer.
Large group of men that I will willingly say I'm a member of.
Mm-hmm. Even gamers you refuse to be a part of.
That's top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get 20% off. We've said this every time that they've sponsored us. You should know the deal by now. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code FILTHY at manscaped.com. I still love them. We've got their products. They're working perfectly. They're still the best razor, electric razor I've ever owned. Huge.
They've sent us a bunch of stuff now. All their products that they've sent us have been great, and all stuff that I quite genuinely would buy, even if they hadn't have sent it to me. Worth having. Well designed, works great.
Very high quality.
Yeah.
And 20% off and free shipping. Well, motherfucker, you can't beat that deal.
That can't be beat.
You can't beat it, motherfucker.
Thanks, Manscaped, for making our winter wieners look so good. I love reading this coffee.
This snowman's not embarrassed of his carrot.
Yes.
I get the impression that this copywriter was like, honestly, I'd pay them to work here. I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah. Manscaped.com. The code is filthy. And then you're going to end up the opposite of filthy. That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Check them out. They support us, so do the right thing and support them.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Don't be morally wrong here.
It's ethically bankrupt to not support the sponsor of a podcast that you listen to. But fellas, we need to dive back into the conferences.
Mm.
And I think we need to talk about one of the biggest conferences that happened over the weekend. So many great announcements. I am, of course, talking about the studio Capcom, who held a press conference where they talked about the fact that Resident Evil had come out a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
it's true. They were thinking about getting around to some DLC at some point.
Maybe. Talked about Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is out in like a couple of weeks or something.
Mm-hmm. Monster Hunter Stories that's out in a couple of weeks.
Yep, and I think that was basically it.
Yeah, I think maybe another update for Monster Hunter Rise. I think they're doing one last update for that. And
yeah.
Right. But yeah, Capcom was like, yeah, we got nothing.
I thought we'd get something out of them. I was excited. I said last week I've been thinking recently about what they've got so many like kind of great revered franchises. Yeah, I really thought we were going to get a little taste of something from him. It was very bizarre to talk about stuff that is coming out very soon or spend the bulk of it just patting yourself on the back for something that has come out a little while ago and been well received.
Hey, they didn't just pat themselves on the back for Resident Evil Village. They also did it for Monster Hunter Rise, which is also already out.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess I'm up for Resident Evil Village DLC. Mm. Cool. Go for it. But like, the way they announced it, like, yeah, we'll do that. Oh, really? You'll make DLC for your successful game in 2021? Wow.
Yeah. It was a bit like, you guys know you didn't have to do something for this, right?
Yeah.
Like you could have opted out of E3 if you'd wanted.
I mean, I guess they just kind of did because they do have a couple of games coming out. So they were like, yeah, we better just say where they're coming out again.
Advertising.
There was like a new version of Street Fighter V or something as well, I think. And just stuff like that, real wheel spinning stuff. So yeah, nothing much out of Capcom. Square Enix was kind of similar as well. They had some announcements, but none of the like Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 type of level of stuff. No Final Fantasy 16 anything. Not even a mention of it that I'm aware of.
Very true. Yeah, that is a little surprising.
Yeah.
I guess that happened with other developers and other games where they did a reveal a year ago and then they didn't touch on it at all.
That RPG from Xbox, do you remember? And like Fable as well. There was one called Outland and then also Fable. Or I can't remember what that other one was fucking called, but some first-person one. But yeah, there was a bunch of stuff like that. But they did announce some Final Fantasy things remade remasters of those original six Final Fantasy games,
which
are absolutely dog shit in the versions you can purchase today. They've got these like smoothed out sprites that look like shit. They look so, so bad, and they have done for ages. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these. Have a look at them on Steam now, because I wanna see your face with how they messed up my boy.
I think they and haven't they in these ones they've made the sprites even worse, right?
Well, they've called them pixel remasters, so my understand, you know what? I haven't even looked at them, to be honest. I've just realized.
I watched this trailer and maybe are they sort of Project Triangle Strategy Octopath Traveler style, adding a bit of depth of field and stuff like that. That was impression that I got. Right.
What did they announce recently in that engine? I've completely blanked. They announced a remake of something not all that long ago in the Octopath engine.
Wasn't like Legend of Mana or something?
Oh no, sorry, Dragon Quest III.
Oh yes.
Right, that's right.
They which would be so great if they just remade all of their legacy RPGs from the 90s in that 2D 3D hybrid engine. I think it looks great. Personally, I really love it. I liked Octopath a lot, and my favorite part of it was the visual style. Yeah. So yeah, going back and putting all those games in that engine would be fucking awesome.
This is not that. This is the thing that I am more interested in, which is they're doing like a remaster of them as the original versions looked. So
yeah,
pixely,
I am looking at Final Fantasy IV on Steam, and I did not know that this existed, and I don't.
It's fucked
like
up.
It.
All six of them look like absolute dog shit. It's fucking crazy. I don't know who there did it, but they're like these weird smoothed out, like you've got a shit filter on in an emulator. It's really terrible.
Mm.
So they're kind of fixing them up finally, which is nice. That took second place to me in terms of Final Fantasy interest to Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin.
Yeah. Why is it called Stranger of Paradise?
I have no idea. Why is it called why is it called three things in the one title?
And Final Fantasy is famously an anthology.
Yeah. There's
no origin story for an anthology series.
There was a re-release of the first two Final Fantasy games, I think it was, or maybe it was 4 and 5 and 6 or something on the PS1 called Final Fantasy Origin. It's picky of me to say that that game already exists. But I'm going to be picky because this game's title sounds... It's the equivalent of a Zoom podcast where all the hosts talk at once with their own idea. It sucks.
Guys, we're talking about Square Enix. Why are you wasting breath wondering about why the game has this kind of title? Like, it's the answer is
life
the company
is
that made it.
Yeah.
it looks cool, though, the game. There is a demo of it on the PS5 now that I played last night. It is Neo. The game is, it's made by Team Ninja, who made Neo, and this is the gameplay of Neo with like a Final Fantasy coat of paint. So you're fighting against little Final Fantasy enemies, and the name of the attack they're doing is popping up over their head and that sort of shit.
Cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
It looks cool. Yeah, it looks great. This.
It runs like absolute horse shit at the moment. It's a long way from being out, but even on the PS5, it's coming out on older consoles too, but it really runs terribly.
I think it's been patched since it was released. I don't know if you got the patched version, because I saw some people on Twitter being like, this demo is fucked, and later saying like, oh, this is okay, it's not broken anymore.
That original version is that it would literally just say data corrupted and not play.
All right.
And then they patched it so that it would run at all, and now it runs like shit.
Okay.
I think it is just the fact that it is not released yet. Like, it's just the frame rate isn't great and it looks a little grainy and stuff like that. But it's stuff that that's always sort of the last part of a game that comes together, right, is optimizing it. But the actual gameplay, really fun.
Awesome. Yeah,
maybe
super
it was
excited.
A little too early to put out a demo or something. But I am into the concept of this for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. What I am not into is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
but this
boy.
Is right up your alley, Ben.
I like space shit. I like funny shit. I like, you know, quirky bands of characters. I never played the Avengers game that came out last year or the year before, whenever it came out.
Guess what? You don't like it.
Yeah. I don't like how they've changed the characters' visuals to be bad. Either make them look like the people in the movies, because that's how I know these characters, or make them look good. Don't make them all look like douchebags. These Guardians of the Galaxy's versions look like annoying characters. Fucking Star-Lord looks like a dickhead.
It's strange, because they don't look comic booky. They look real world. Similar problem that the Avengers had, where you're doing real world versions of these comic book characters that now have very established picturable things in your head of what those real world versions look like, which is actors. Yep. Obviously, it costs more money to get Robert Downey Jr.'s face in a game, so it makes sense that you're redoing them. But yeah, they just look a little bit off. I agree. Like, and it is so bizarre the way that Square Enix is treating they don't know what to do with Marvel, I guess, because the whole reason that Marvel is as big of a thing and as successful as it is now is that they have all these different characters who all kind of interact in these various different movies. And what has happened with the Marvel games, I guess Marvel doesn't know what to do with games either. Maybe the Spider-Man situation is because Sony part owns that. But they're all fucking unrelated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which feels really strange. Like, this is a single player kind of generic third person combat type of game, similar to Marvel, but it doesn't have a multiplayer focus anymore. But you wouldn't know from looking at how it plays. And yeah, I am equally dubious of this. I think it just looks kind of same as Avengers, just bland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be anything. Yeah. This looks really uninteresting.
Yeah. And I don't like, I'm not an MCU fan. I am a Guardians of the Galaxy fan. I think they're great movies. And yeah, it is a real shame that, that this is the game that we're getting for them.
I'd love both of those Insomniac Spider-Man games. They're both really good. And they're fun adaptations of that character, and they're good game versions of what that character's abilities are.
Yep. Totally.
And it's a shame that that level of translating the comic book to a game, which was as high quality as translating a comic book to the screen as the Marvel movies are to me, that Square Enix and the development teams who have been making these games haven't been able to do that for these games, which is a shame.
Yeah. Platinum showed up in the Square showcase.
Wow, that's Platinum's music!
They showed off their new game, Babylon's Fall. They showed a little bit of gameplay from that. It looks okay, but not. I mean, I really like Platinum games. It's a little less from of the sort of visual style that I like from them. Mm. But you know, that's okay because I'm sure I'll be seeing a bit of Bayonetta 3 on Tuesday night. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, man, I'm really nervous about
when we have to break this news to Tommy Ben. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to take it.
I think he's already had a psychic break. He just is living in a different world now. I actually loved the look of Babylon's Fall. I hadn't seen it until right now. I'm just watching the trailer. I think this looks cool.
It does look cool. Yeah. It does look cool, but it just looks very Platinum generally have such a like a unique kind of look for how they do things, and this doesn't, if I didn't know that it was a Platinum game going into watching the trailer, I don't think it has a lot of their general sort of visual style to it, but yeah, mechanically and gameplay wise it looks cool.
Yeah.
And they make fun games, so I'll give it a go.
Nice.
For sure.
It's always exciting to see which Platinum is going to turn up, whether it's going to be like Nier Automata Platinum or like Transformers the Game Platinum.
Mm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Platinum. But this looks cool.
What else have I got on my list here? Because I assume we'll finish off with one specific conference. I've got some little indies that popped up along the way. I don't know if you watched, I assume you did, Tommy. You watched some of the Wholesome Games Showcase.
Yep.
On Zen Master, I think it looks great.
Yeah.
A bunch of basically resource and time management games. On Zen Master, The Wandering Village looks sick. Garden Story. Yep. And then two games. I think this is already out as a VR game. Hot Pot for One. I think did you play this, Tommy? Or did you play a ramen game maybe, am I thinking?
No,
of?
I played I played the official Ichiran.
That's right.
Ramen game on VR.
There's a Hot Pot game. And there's also a soup pot game.
Yes. Yes.
The soup pot one is
also.
Oh yeah, there's another.
And there's also not in this presentation, but there was a game that got announced that's a Splatoon ripoff called Raw Men.
Oh man.
Raw Men.
That's going to be embarrassing for them when Nintendo show more of Splatoon 3.
One of their big properties that everyone's excited to see. Yeah,
it's spreading. It's spreading. It's the same mechanics, but you're coating the world with food, and you start out in a big ramen pot,
sick.
Kind of thing. So yeah, big soup theme in.
People want comforting food based games. Very nice, warm. Wonder why? Yeah. I wonder what's happened in the world in the past year to make people want that. But
it's probably,
and also metaphorically, a lot of presentations were quite thin.
Yeah.
What else? Yokai Inn. Yeah, a bunch of And then other city building ones that I didn't write down as well, like heaps of these kind of games were shown in the PC gaming stuff, the Future Games Showcase, and yeah, the Wholesome Games Showcase that I'm super into. All of this looks really, really fun.
Garden Story, I think, looks really great. Yeah. I'm very excited for that since they first showed it off a little while ago. There's a game called Unpacking, which a little puzzle game where you've just got boxes of stuff in a room and you have to take them all out and kind of arrange them in the room. I'm really excited to play that, although I am just about to have that experience of moving house IRL, so maybe by the time I'm done with that, I won't be able to think of anything worse to do with my time.
Now, hold on. You've said there's a game about unpacking boxes. Now, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's...
Oh, yeah.
I watched the Space Jam 2 trailer before, so that's my sense of humor now.
I've played the demo for this unpacking game, and it's sick.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Cool.
It's very simple. There's not heaps to it, but what it is a relaxing, simple game, which...
It gave me a bit of House Flipper vibe, right? It's just meant to be very... It's like Zen, you know.
Probably a similar effect will happen for you as a player. Different aesthetic, though. It is more cutesy. It's more. Yeah. It's a little more leaning into it. But that's cool.
There's a game called A Musical Story, which is just this sort of this guy remembering his time in a band, and it's like a rhythm game thing that doesn't... I watched a developer video about it. It doesn't sort of cue you with button prompts. You're actually having to listen to the music and just intuit what you're meant to be doing, which sounds, if they can pull that off, that could be really cool and really satisfying. Kena Bridge of Spirits looks cool. And a huge one that got announced early on in E3 that I think looks really fantastic is Metal Slug Tactics.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like seeing that there was a new Metal Slug, I was like, just assuming it was going to be another, you know, side scroller bullet hell thing. I was like, cool, but you know, not 100% my jam. But then actually watching the trailer and just going, oh, this is Advance Wars,
or like Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that with like the isometric perspective. It's one of those sort of kind of XCOM-y like squad tactics games, and it looks fucking awesome. That art style turned into that perspective looks so cool.
You guys should check out.
It looks really sick. It's such a cool rebranding and idea. Sorry.
On Game Pass, there is a game called, I think it's called Pathless, and it is the same as this. It's a 16-bit style. The aesthetic is like Indiana Jones. You're traveling through a sort of North African desert to find a thing. But, similar sort of vibe, similar color palette, and like an XCOM or a Mario plus Rabbids, it is a grid-based tactical RPG. Cool. And if you have Game Pass, it's free to check out. I really enjoyed it.
I do have a bit of nostalgia for Metal Slug, though, as a series. I like those arcade games, and there was a really good compilation of them all on like the PS2 and the Wii, and I think everything at the time that I played a fair bit of. And that's a really surprising and cool looking game.
Yeah, yeah, very jacked for that. I don't think they've really said when it's out or what it's out on. I think all they've said at the moment is PC.
I think you're right. Yeah, but I'm into it. All right.
Tactics, yeah. Windows.
Well, if that's all the stuff pre 2 a.m. Australian time Wednesday morning.
So we all stayed up. It felt it's fun. Honestly, it's fun to have an excuse to stay up until a ridiculous hour.
I agree. Yeah, that's why I did it three times.
And getting to midnight and going, I'm really tired. There's still ages to go until this thing starts.
Yeah. And
like at 12:30 in the morning, I was genuinely considering putting on a Fast and the Furious movie to kill the time.
I played a bunch of Ratchet and Clank, which we'll talk about next week, but here's a preview. That game's sick. But Nintendo had their Direct, which they had said would be exclusively software coming to the Nintendo Switch, mostly in 2021. And I tell you what, they didn't fucking lie.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's what they showed.
It did what it says on the tin.
It sure did. Some of that software came to other consoles much longer ago than 2021.
Yeah, true.
But a lot of it did.
Based on that tagline, if you got overhyped for this, it's entirely your own fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, unless you read Bloomberg.
And I think also just like, there was some really, there's four games in particular that I'm genuinely looking forward to that were shown in this. I think that there was a glut of stuff like, hey, Tony Hawk 1 plus 2, that's coming to the Switch, and that sort of thing that was like, okay, all right.
But that's already been, that's out really soon.
Right.
That's out inside of a month. Like that wasn't, even if that had have been the announcement, like, oh, that, you know, that remaster from the PlayStation, that's coming out. If that had have been the announce of that, it would have been like, oh, cool, people are interested in that.
Right.
But and spending time on it when it's happening in 2 weeks is
And a lot of that stuff of like the Life is Strange games and this Worms game, and they all come in a Switch and they all look like shit. Enjoy.
Yeah. Worms looked just terrible. It looked like it was running at about 11 frames per second.
A lot of these games had that problem. It's almost as though Nintendo needs to update their hardware. But yeah,
I feel like increasingly the problem with these directs is that they go for 40 minutes and they spend more and more and more and more time on this sort of third party filler stuff, which people that are watching these, that are tuning in for these things, don't particularly care about. And it feels like when they started doing these Switch presentations, it was a big deal that third party games were coming out for a Nintendo console, because they hadn't really had third parties. So I remember watching them when the Switch was in its first year. It was like, oh, cool, the South Park game's coming out. Like, it actually was impressive.
Yes.
Oh, they're porting Doom over. Like, that's great. It kind of was impressive.
It was the thing that we
were
most...
But now they're just filling up so much time with all of it.
A lack of third-party games on the Switch was the thing, I think, that we were the most skeptical about. Like, that's what killed the Wii U, people not buying into Nintendo's new console. And so... Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. But, like, I mean, like, I'll just list them off. Strange Brigade, Tony Hawk 1 and 2, Fatal Frame, Danganronpa, Cruisin' Blast, Dragon Ball Z, Just Dance, 2 Point Campus, Super Monkey Ball, like, Worms, like you said. Like, none of these
All of these getting quite a long time. Because I think with the early Switch, Nintendo Directs with the Switch, we were getting a lot of those announcements of, like, guess what? Metroid Prime 4, motherfucker, Bayonetta 3. Games that still haven't shown up, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we're programmed to think that a direct is exciting based on these false promises from earlier ones that still haven't panned out, which makes sense why they'd be cagey about going, hey, guess what's coming down the line, bitch? Mario Odyssey 2.
But I also think, like, the whole thing of this needing to go for 45 minutes, that's completely invented by them. Like I said to you guys, I can't remember if it was in the trailer or affair, but, yeah, if this had have been... a 15-minute, 10-minute presentation of just the first party stuff, it'd be like, great.
Yeah.
But it was the spending 20 minutes of just watching Worms and Tony Hawk and just going like, and not to say that there's not people that are interested in those games, like of course there are, but when it's E3 and this is the platform to sort of go big, you know, regardless of what your own hype levels are, and that is completely self-inflicted for sure, but when it's happening at this conference, like at this level, it's generally not the time that you would think that they wheel out the kind of more broad, accessible stuff.
Yeah.
Because it is the real diehards that are tuning in at this time that know that E3 even exists.
Yeah, just given like, hey, Kazuya Mishima from Tekken, he's here. You got a spare 10 minutes? Let's show you.
Here's all the moves. Yeah.
That sort of stuff is just like a little bit weird. But having said that, there was plenty of stuff in it that was like sort of underwhelming or not interesting to me. But there were things that were interesting to me for sure.
Right.
It was kind of rumored before this, but there's a new 2D Metroid game coming called Metroid Dread, which is the name of like a DS Metroid game that got cancelled that was rumored for ages. So that's kind of cool.
Oh.
It's Metroid 5. So the follow-up to Fusion.
It looks cool. I think, I'm looking forward to playing it. I was watching it again when they introduced it by going, still working on Prime 4, don't have anything to show you, but here's this. It was hard watching it not to feel like it was just rushed out or something to sort of appease people. You know what I mean? It was kind of hard to watch it on its own
kind of
merits as like a game that will be good, but like watching it again this morning, I'm into it. I think it'll be fun.
That it's the same team, I believe, who did Samus Returns, like the remake of 2.
Right.
Which are also the team who did Other M, I'm pretty sure, which wasn't well received. But this had some cool ideas in it. And playing a 2D Metroid game again is something I've done 50 times in the last 10 years because every indie game is that. But I'm also interested to get it from the horse's mouth. WarioWare Get It Together was shown. Again, rumored that there'd be a new WarioWare game, and here it was, but... that's sick that there's a new WarioWare game. I love most of those.
Did you see where that rumor came from, by the way? Because that's kind of funny.
Nah. Wario?
They randomly sent out a survey to a bunch of, like, My Nintendo members or whatever. And it was just an email that just had one survey question on it that said, if we were to release a new WarioWare game, what would you be happy paying for it?
That's pretty funny. And then they sent a second email out saying, haha, sorry, my friend took my phone. That that wasn't me.
Fuck. We talk about this on the trailer. We go into great detail. This is cool. This is one of the ticks in the Nintendo conference.
For sure.
Mario Golf Super Rush, we've seen a bunch of times, we're excited for it. It's going to be a good game.
It'll be out three weeks or something as well. Yeah. Very soon.
Yep.
What else?
Confirmation that they'll be doing a lot of post-launch stuff for that.
Yes.
They showed a little DLC course that's coming down the line of a new Donk City golf course, which cool. If they do stuff like that, then great. They are doing a... they're doing Mario Party Superstars, which is a 100 of the classic mini games from the 64 ones and 5 boards. And a lot of people are wondering why this couldn't have just been DLC.
Yeah, or like if they're going to do this, make it a little more substantial maybe, because there's a lot of Mario Party content in your backlog now, right? If you were to put more of it in, hey, that might be cool to have like a Mario Party game that you can keep coming back to and you don't get sick of as quickly. Mm-hmm. But not the design philosophy of Mario Party. more of Shin Megami Tensei 5, which I'm interested in. It was honestly a little bit of a dull trailer for anyone who's like played one of those games or a Persona game before, because they just kind of explained exactly what these games are. But there's plenty of people, I'm sure, who have a Switch and haven't played one of these games, and it really laid it out there. But
it looks cool.
Yeah. This is a legitimate, long, deep action RPG with a rich history. And I got excited seeing those Persona enemies, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm keen to play one of the mainline series.
Same, absolutely. I never have. Mm. And I loved Persona 5, same as you guys. And this looks like more of the good shit from that.
Oh, yeah.
With a little bit more of a serious tone.
The
remaster of 3 just came out, I think, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think was very well received. Oh. People were really into that. So, yeah, been thinking about maybe dipping into that just to see what all the goddamn fuss is about.
What are you fucking kids talking about? give me a turn. I guess, yeah, other than there was a bit more humming and hawing about sort of whatever. Like there were a lot of sort of, and also this, and you're like, oh yeah, and I can't even remember a lot of them. But then towards the end, I guess it's probably the point we're up to. They showed some Zelda stuff. They were like, this will be our last section of the thing for today,
yeah,
which is like, oh, yep, okay. And they showed a bit more of Skyward Sword remaster, which is again out in like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new one of those Game and Watch things like they made for Mario, which looks really cool.
Yeah.
Well, they cut to the final segment and Anuma gets on and he introduces the Hyrule Champions DLC.
That's right. Sorry, yeah.
And which looks cool. I love that game. But for a moment, it looked like that was going to be the big closer of the presentation.
That's right, yeah.
Which in my head, I was like, this sums it up perfectly.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he goes, we're going to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Zelda by releasing a little Game & Watch with the original Zelda games on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I was wrong. This sums it up perfectly as the last thing of the presentation. I was like, yep. A little fucking clock. I mean, it does look cool.
It looks cool. As a little collectible thing, it's nice. Same as that Mario one where
Yeah.
There are better ways of playing those games if you want to play those games. But it's a nice little fucking trinket to have on a shelf and get dusty.
And it's got three of them in it, which makes it a pretty decent value proposition and retroactively makes the Mario one look like a fucking cheap piece of shit.
Yeah,
it's so weird that you like, well, there's two other NES games. Where are they?
No, we put an alarm clock in. You have to be happy with that.
Yeah.
And you also get like a little thing of like that that like mole squashing Game & Watch game, but Link's head is instead of the regular head.
Yep.
And then he was like, and also, okay, a little Breath of the Wild 2. We know what you like. Yep. We know what you guys are into. Here's a bit of Breath of the Wild 2. And short and sweet trailer for that with that, again, is in that trailer video. Looks like the big new ability is that Link can like ghost through walls
and skydive. Yeah. I guess you could you could kind of sky, like you could jump off shit, but
yeah, but the verticality is a lot more. So he starts off right in the way up in the sky where the bluebirds fly.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I've seen this commented on a bit, like, yeah, the first thing we saw was him kind of falling through the sky.
Yeah.
Great way of kicking it off. It immediately makes the whole kind of seemingly random re-release of Skyward Sword make a bit more sense because it seems like it's borrowing some elements from that.
I guess so.
The kind of floating islands and the, you know, there's a lot of, it seems to be like a lot of themic kind of thematic parallels with that. Yeah, very brief. We basically just saw that, like, from that first shot, I thought, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to be seeing. And Breath of the Wild's a huge game in terms of its scope, and people have been wondering, how do you make a sequel? How do you make it bigger and more satisfying? And yeah, the answer turns out to be put a bunch of shit in the sky.
Yep.
Right.
Which seems awesome.
Same map, but some lands in the sky now. Which means there's also probably some caves, which is like from that original sort of teaser trailer. People thought, oh, it's the same map but with caves. But nah, same map with caves and islands in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also... I guess that was it. It looks like the same thing again, but Breath of the Wild is maybe the best game that's ever been made. So cool.
Yeah.
I really felt like this trailer, like I liked it. I loved seeing... you know, just anything of this game, getting any kind of proper glimpse of what we're going to be doing was obviously very exciting.
And a 2022 release date as well.
Yes. 2022, yeah. It really felt to me like they had been a little bit forced into making this trailer before they are really ready to or would have wanted to. Because this presentation without that little glimpse at the end is pretty diabolical.
Right.
I read a thing today that it's not going to be called Breath of the Wild 2. It's going to be called The Legend of Zelda, and it's going to have its own subtitle thing.
Yeah.
And they're not even ready to show that yet. And
no.
This trailer, like, I thought it was good. I'm not knocking it. Like, I thought everything we saw was really good.
Yeah.
But it didn't really have that sort of... It was just... Something about it was just kind of cut together and it didn't have that, like, kind of... cinematic polish that they kind of would normally have for like a big reveal of something like this. It really did feel like they'd had to be very selective about the small little things that they could or were ready to show. It felt like it had been done under duress.
With that, if you compare it to that first trailer, if you remember it, of Breath of the Wild 1, where it had that music that was like soaring and it showed all the different parts of the world, but from vantage points where you couldn't really tell where they were. And it was all, you know, it was really, really... nicely cut together. I think you're right that this was just like...
This had some cool moments in it, but it just felt a little... And the fact that it didn't... You would think like that you would get to the end and maybe you would see the title reveal. Like we actually don't know the formal title of it yet. We're getting a date.
2022. That's what it's called.
Right. It's going to be released in 2023, obviously. But
right, yeah. 2022 comes out in 2023. It's a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, again, like a lot of people commenting on, especially some of those sequences that are in the sky where the draw distance that they're showing and the way these, like, the world is being rendered and then the stuff in the sky is being rendered, it's like...
That shit was crazy in the first one.
Can't be running on this
But that shit looked great current. On the first one, and that ran on the fucking Wii U too, you know? Like, ran poorly on the Wii U, but it ran on it. But you could see the other side of that entirety of Hyrule in that first one. So I do think that this looks pretty much at the exact same standard of that first one to me.
Yeah, maybe there's more stuff in... Like, you can see more stuff. They've added stuff, physical stuff, to what is in your field of view. But detail-wise, and it still has that restrained style, which allowed them to get away with processing all of that stuff on screen.
Having gone back to Breath of the Wild from time to time during this year, it looks really similar to the first one.
Right.
So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that is just running on a bog-ass Switch, which is the only type of Switch that exists and ever will. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Foolish but to speculate
on this. Very exciting to get that glimpse at the end. There wasn't a lot in there for my tastes personally.
Advance Wars.
In terms of the franchises that I really like.
Advance Wars re-release is the one that I forgot about that some people are excited by. And I love those first two games. I played them a lot on the Game Boy Advance. And I think these, like, they're re-releases of that. It's exactly the same games, which is cool if you never played them or cool if you want to play them again. But fuck me, do they look terrible to my eye.
Hmm.
The design of these, the art design of these looks just abysmal to me.
Yeah, I'd rather just a straight port in the pixely style.
I think I would too. Like, there's just something about the way these look that really got the hairs on the back of my neck growling.
Yeah, these also look like a game that stylistically they look like a game that would be advertised to you on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
And
I think the Metal Slug Tactics, which is sort of doing a bit of the same thing, but in that pixel arty style, it was hard not to feel like the sting of this announcement was taken out. Because, without that existing, I probably would be a bit more amped on this. But it's funny, like, the differences between, you know, it all comes down to just what are the franchises that you really care about. And talking to a lot of people who are huge Metroid heads, specifically 2D Metroid heads, seen a lot of people saying they think this is the best direct they've ever seen. For me personally, I thought it was one of the worst, but like the difference for me would have been if we saw Bayonetta 3, I would have been going, yeah, that was a fucking banger. Like that, you know what I mean? Just one thing like that would have made all the difference for my personal tastes. But, you know, it was great. It was great. Burning the midnight oil with my boys. I got to say that. That was the real highlight of the direct was the friendship.
And I like E3 happening in the way that it used to or close to. I just think it's quite fun to get all this news at once and go, ooh.
It's fun to sit up to 2:30 in the morning and all be like, what the fuck is this Worms game? Is this even running properly? It looks buggy and it's a trailer. That's still a fun thing to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bizarre. But look, overall, there's plenty of stuff coming out that I'm pumped on. There's a lot of stuff coming out in the back end of the year. And you know, for all the shitting on it, there are a bunch of Switch games coming out before the end of 2021 that I'm keen to play.
There's a bunch of stuff. I guess it wasn't in the Nintendo presentation, but there is stuff that's coming to Switch that, you know, like Ghost Runner. Like there's a bunch of games that if you're a Switch owner and you don't have an up-to-date PC or another console, it's still sick that a bunch of games are getting ported over.
Right.
And yeah, like we said.
That's true.
We talked about like 40 games that we're excited for. So I think it's that has to be a big tick in E3's box in its favor.
For sure.
Yeah.
I want to keep playing video games for another year. I've made the decision.
Yeah. Well, every E3 or, you know, around this time every year, we have to decide if we want to keep doing the podcast or not. And There's
our
games.
Our hosting subscription's due. Our yearly subscription fee.
Do I let the website lapse or not? Oh, there's still games. Okay.
Hey, the Podcast Guild is ringing. Do we get back to them or?
Well, we'd better wrap it up there for our big E3 wrap up. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed listening to this. It was fun chatting with you guys over the weekend.
Yeah.
About it, if you're in our Facebook group or our Discord. And hey, look, if we missed anything that you think looks great that you'd like to hear us discuss, maybe we can do an ep of all the stuff that fell by the wayside, or we can do another trailer video. But yeah, if you think there's anything that looks super great that that we should know about, because yeah, apologies if we left out something that was one of your favorites, but this has gone for an hour and a half, and yeah, we felt like we covered heaps. But yeah, let us know. Head to the website, filthycasuals.com.au. You can support the show on Patreon, where you get a bonus episode every week. You also get early access to our YouTube videos that we're doing at the moment. We just started a playthrough of Operation Tango, which we started doing because of being in lockdown and not being able to be in the same room. But it's a cooperative spy hacking game where you guys are both playing and I'm watching both of your screens and getting very overwhelmed by it.
Those restrictive lockdown rules lift soon as well. So we'll do Operation Tango, and we'll get back to It Takes Two as well. And we'll do more of the trailer stuff and probably some other things.
Yeah.
I'm doing more streaming at the moment too. I've finally fucking sockled down and got myself in front of a camera. I played a bit of Game Builder Garage, which we'll talk about next week, but I'm going to do that. I don't have any regular schedule or anything yet, but Adam Knox Real and Official is my Twitch channel that I'm going to change the name of at some point, so don't get attached, because I wrote that as a joke, and I'm worried sometimes that people think it's real, that I really think people need me to go, this is the official one. So
Adam Knox Sucks.
No, I don't want to make it that.
Well, it's more self-deprecating than Adam Knox Real and Official.
Yeah, it makes me feel bad.
Okay, just call it Adam Knox then.
But it's a bit of fun. Nah, that doesn't work. It's not complicated and confusing enough. But yeah, that's a bit of fun if you want to come over there for whenever I'm doing the next one. I don't know when.
Oh, yeah, and we have a new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Probably add a... add a plug to the start as well if you can be bothered, Knox. But Knox and I are doing a podcast called Gabagool, where we're gabbing about The Sopranos. Like, Are You Talking to Me? One episode of the show every week. Recap and review. Definitely a recap if you're worried about not having time to watch the show. We just go through every scene. So it's been super fun so far. It's a great show. It's just so fun to talk about.
It's fantastic. And The Sopranos ain't bad either.
Nice.
You kick off by saying, welcome to another episode, Gabba Ghouls and Gabba Goblins. Or maybe that you can do that on a Halloween themed episode.
Oh, perhaps. Thanks, Tommy. Can we have that? Yeah. I really want to say that.
We do talk about umming and ahhing about saying Yabba Gabba Ghoul.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a great, Sopranos is a great show. If you've never watched it, watch along with us. Or if you've watched it before, maybe it's an excuse. Or if you just want to listen, you can do that too. It's fun. Gabba Ghoul.
Check all that stuff out. And, as we mentioned, the rules have got announced today as we're recording that we can be back in the same room from next week. So thank you for bearing with us for these couple of weeks of Zoom interludes. Hope everyone's doing okay wherever you are in the world, getting vaccinated, doing all the right stuff, keeping your distance if you've got to do that. And, take care, everyone. Hope you enjoyed E3. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Here's my impression of the end of Nintendo Direct. Oh, and one less thing. What do you reckon, guys? Good impression, right?
Not ready to joke about it, sorry.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.